Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Grace and Silas Moser, the husband and wife behind the blog and massive social following, Chasing Foxes. Grace and Silas started their blog as a side project just a year and a half ago as of this recording, while Grace was between work and Silas was working a demanding corporate job. And they got the inspiration for starting a blog from a few podcasts they'd been listening to about building an online business at the time. Pretty much instantly, Grace invested a ton of her time and effort into figuring out Pinterest as a traffic source back to their blog. And in just a few months, they were bringing in literally hundreds of thousands of readers. Insane. They began implementing affiliate links across their posts, signing up for an ad network, and really doubling down on what was working with Pinterest. Something, as you'll hear, Grace has turned into an exact science. So just a few short months after this explosive start to their blog, Grace and Silas were already earning several thousands of dollars, and it's only gone up since then. Silas quickly left his day job, they moved to a beach town in Mexico, and have been traveling the world together for the past year, now earning nearly $20,000 a month from their blog. In this episode, we're talking about the exact strategies, tactics, and techniques behind how Grace and Silas have built a Pinterest following over 129,000 followers that bring them over 1 million monthly visitors to their blog. We cover the systems that Grace built and followed in the early days that helped her publish a high volume of blog posts very quickly so that she could go out and have more content for Pinterest. We dig into how these two stay productive, running a six-figure business while traveling the world, the biggest challenge and setbacks they've faced along the way, and how they've diversified their income. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Silas and Grace Moser. Grace, Silas, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So I've got a first question for you guys that I've been asking everyone on the podcast so far. I'm curious to hear, what book are you reading right now, or what's been your favorite recently?
The most recent book we've read was Murder on the Orient Express by Agatha Christie. And we really, really liked that. I won't give it away, but it's really kind of a novel twist on the whole murder mystery thing.
It's not a business book, but it's pretty fun. We were on the road.
Yeah, I like that. It's equally entertaining, right? Like that's also important out of a book. Awesome. All right. So Grace, Silas, you guys are talking to me today from Indiana. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yep. We're visiting family.
Awesome. Is that where you're originally from?
That's where I'm from originally.
I'm from California.
Cool. And you guys right now, just for everyone listening today, Grace and Silas are crazy world travelers. Every time I talk to you guys, you're somewhere else in the world, it seems like. Where have you been most recently before you were back in the US?
We were in Morocco.
All right. And how about over the course of this year? How many countries?
Okay. Do you want to, should I list and you count?
Okay.
So Taiwan, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Austria, Morocco.
Technically Canada. We were there for like an hour.
Wow.
12.
13. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're here today to talk about what is helping you to do this, essentially, to travel the world and sort of live a lifestyle that you guys want on your own terms. So can you tell us about Chasing Foxes and your blog, everything that it is?
So I was working some crazy jobs. I did some startups and then I did some corporate gigs and stuff. And we kind of wanted to get out of the 9-to-5 grind. So we discovered I was like binge listening to podcasts, and we discovered on the Side Hustle show, Rosemary Groner from the Busy Budster actually laid out basically her entire marketing plan. And so I was like, hey, Grace, I think we could actually do this. We could do this. Let's build a business like around what goes viral on Pinterest and what we're interested in and excited about. And then let's just see what happens. And Grace worked full time because I had a college education. I had a degree so I could make more money. So she worked full time on the blog and I worked full time in like corporate suit in Thailand. And we ended up, it took off like a rocket. We launched in April of 2016. Mm-hmm. And I was able to quit my job by August 15th and move to like a beach town in Mexico.
I think it was July. We moved.
I'm sorry. July 15th.
I'm giving him credit because he quit sooner.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's kind of what we did. We basically tried to distill down and hack to how other people who make their stuff go viral regularly, like BuzzFeed or Upworthy or Now This,
yeah,
how they make it go viral. And so we just literally studied them and then patterned our marketing off that as well.
Was this the first business that either of you started?
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it all started with, and I'm actually familiar with Rosemary Gardner too. She's going to be on the podcast soon. She's on my list of people to talk to. So you were sort of inspired by this episode that you heard with her interview, kind of like laying out all these tactics, Pinterest being probably the biggest, I'm assuming. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you guys went first as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was just poking around this morning. It looks like you have 129,000 followers on Pinterest. I know that followers aren't really like the important metric with Pinterest, right? But you know, still, that's insane. What kind of traffic are you guys driving from Pinterest per month on average?
It's, I think around like 100, no, sorry, 100, like around 1 million to 1,500.
I mean, 1 to 1.5 million. Right, our traffic's taken a dip lately, so we're kind of in the 1 to 1.5 million range.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane, though. So how long did it take for you guys to break 1 million in traffic?
We broke it, I think, in June. So that would be like a couple months after launching your blog.
Whoa. So if you were to look back then at like how many times a day you were posting on Pinterest in order to start spiking that traffic so quickly, what would you say, like, you know, number of posts per day, or if there was some other activity that might have been helping drive the traffic?
I was posting around like 6 posts per week. So like, it was interesting because when we took a dip recently, I was like, okay, what are we doing differently that we weren't doing when we first started? And I was like, okay, I was under the impression that when we first started, all our posts were going viral. But when I looked back at like the previous pins I had created for Pinterest, like I could see certain things just, you know, they didn't, not everything took off. There are things that were duds. And so, I think it's just like what really helps is like getting massive amounts of content out there per week, like 6 to 7 posts. Because even if like 5 of those posts don't go viral, there's a chance for 2 or 3 of them to go viral, and then you get lots of traffic from that. And that helps a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to also talk about A/B testing, pin making, that sort of thing?
That's yeah. Just to clarify, real quick, you meant 6 or 7 posts on your blog, not on Pinterest.
No, on Pinterest as well.
Okay, so you were only posting 6 or 7 times to Pinterest, or you were doing like a bunch of like variation images also?
No.
I do actual like individual 6 to 7 posts I put out onto Pinterest, and each of those posts will have multiple pins. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Yeah, each post will have about 5 different pins mm-hmm. going out for it.
Yeah.
Because one might take off and then it'll bring all the others up as well.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you mentioned A/B testing, if you want to go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do A, B, C, D, and E, and sometimes F testing, because I learned that BuzzFeed, what they do would be they put out multiple images for a post, whether that's images of like clothing, like say like 10 amazing bathing suits you have to try this summer. It'll put up 10 images of like different bathing suits. I get those aren't typically like, you know, pins with titles, but it worked. I saw like multiple go viral. And so I decided to give it a try. And so I created like 5-6 pins per post with different titles and sometimes different images. And I just started seeing things just take off. Like when one would go viral or a couple would go viral, it'd make the rest go viral. And that was able to jump up our traffic and page views like crazy over a very short amount of time.
So I want to talk a little bit about money now, because that's sort of you know, obviously the goal of what most people who start blogging and take it this seriously are going for is to create enough income to where you can quit your jobs, all this stuff that you guys have already done. And I was just seeing on your blog, your most recent income report is just barely below $20,000. I think it was August of 2017. Is that right?
We haven't broke that seal quite yet, but we're going to get there.
Technically did, but when I wrote the income report, like some of it was from like being an affiliate for Bluehost sales. I'm selling like the hosting site packages, and some people had unsigned up. So like, I was like, right, so was like writing the income report, like, yes, we made $20,000. And some people like had unsigned up. And so like, it was just like, right, really close, but yeah. It's okay.
We'll get
it's
there.
Okay. Yeah.
So what portion of your income then comes from like affiliate related stuff versus like display ads and things like that?
What do you think would be?
It's like about, I mean, it varies from month to month, but I'd say it's safe to say it's like a 75-25 or an 80-20 split.
Yeah.
In favor of adverts, because the traffic is on that scale that we can make a living off of ads.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because with so many of the people that are publishing blog income reports, it looks to me like affiliate income is where it's at, but you guys are making it work more so on advertisements.
Yeah. It's really good when you get a good advertising company like Mediavine or AdThrive, and they're able to bump up your ad income a lot. We are starting to get more serious about affiliate income, but that is our main source right now.
Okay. So you guys are part of an ad network, basically, not just reaching out individually to advertisers.
Yeah, we're with Mediavine and they're really great. They've been good to us.
Really good.
Awesome. Have you guys done any like sponsored posts or any like collaborations with brands, anything in sort of like that more hands-on realm?
We're starting to, but we haven't actually, I mean, we're reaching out to brands and we're having certain people reach out to us, but we haven't actually done that yet.
All right. We'll put a bookmark in that one then. Let's see. My next question for you is going back to sort of like when you started, and I want to focus again, sort of like on the income component. You were able to quit your job, Silas, after it sounded like 3-ish months from when you guys started the blog.
Of the blog. We started working out. We worked on a blog for months beforehand because we were like that broke newlywed couple that everybody knows that's like broke for anything. So we couldn't even afford hosting. So like, I was working 50, 60 hour weeks and Grace outside the home and then helping on the weekends and after work. And Grace was working that whole time on the blog.
Yeah.
Just laying groundwork, making posts, getting, applying. Sometimes she'd spend all day applying to group boards, like just to get reach out there. You know, and like by the time we actually put the blog up live, we had access to a little over 11 million people, like just via different group boards that was, you know, other people's audiences. And, so it took a little while, but 3 months after launch, I was out of there.
Yeah.
And you mentioned group boards there, which I think is kind of the holy grail of what I've seen on Pinterest, at least. How do you go about identifying group boards where you can sort of like increase your reach effectively by posting to them?
Well, one of the ways people usually say to do it is go to pingroupy.com. I don't really do that as much because I feel like you're not really knowing what group boards are good group boards, if that makes sense. Like there are some group boards that get good repin rates and there are others that are just, they get a lot of people posting and pinning to it, but like you're not going to see any traffic from that board at all. And so what I do now is I will go onto bigger bloggers' Pinterest profiles and I'll see what group boards they're on. Because if they're on those group boards and they're pinning to them, chances are is that those group boards are actually working. And I've gotten some really great group boards that way. So that's been working for me. So I used to say pin groupie, but not as much anymore.
If you were to compare like the return of pinning to group boards versus pinning to your own boards, especially in the early days, like what kind of magnifying effect does it have?
Did you want to take that one or did you want me to?
That might be the difference between like those little, like a blowgun and a machine gun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you can just hit everything. And it just feels like it's more meaningful every time you throw something out there. Mm-hmm. It's definitely true. Very much more powerful.
I've noticed our own personal board starting to get more powerful. That sounds weird, but mm-hmm. you know, start to get us more traffic, which is really nice. I think Pinterest is helping out with that. I mean, I think also the fact that we have a certain amount of followers helps, but I have heard that Pinterest is allowing personal boards to become more helpful in the way of getting more traffic to sites. So that's been really nice.
Yeah. See. But especially in the beginning, like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are really, really helpful and cool.
Yeah. So invest your time in trying to build relationships with the people who own massive, massive traffic group boards.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, totally.
I like that. All right. So shifting gears a little bit, I saw it looks like you guys are releasing an online course soon about how to start blogging, which clearly you're qualified to do. Can you tell us about what's in store there?
It's a 15-day free blogging email course. We just released it around a week ago, and people are sending me emails in saying, oh my gosh, this is helping us out so much. So, I mean, that was the whole point of it, because we were tired of, when we first started blogging, we're tired of hearing people like give great titles. So they get clickbait and then you click through and then it's just a bunch of fluff and stuff you've read like 50 times in other blogs.
Yeah.
Like create, get your own niche. Like, well, how do I find my own niche? Or like, how do I know if my niche is going to be worthwhile, profitable? Yeah. And so we really strive just to make sure that this blogging course is going to give real tips and real like help to people for starting out.
And I'm assuming the goal of the course is starting to build your guys' email list. Is that correct?
Well, go ahead.
No. What were you going to say?
Well, there's several things. It does help with the email list, obviously. There's some affiliate links in there as well. And then also it kind of like helps people. Like we really did want like to have, you know, what we wanted out there for us when we started.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell you how many podcasts I listened to, and it would take 50 minutes to tell you what you could have learned in like 6 minutes from Google.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, the wrap up would start and you'd be like, wait, that it's over?
Yeah.
But that didn't promise, it didn't deliver anything they promised in the title.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think that was just kind of a big deal for us, especially for me.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of your income related to the blog comes from traffic, people that are, you know, getting display ad impressions, people that are clicking through on affiliate links. Are you guys doing anything to sort of like collect an email list, monetize that email list? Can you tell us about that? Because that to me seems kind of like the next stage of evolution with what most bloggers are doing.
Yeah, it definitely is. I started building our email list back in March. We were around 14,000. And then with this blogging course, I think they'll bring that up to like 15 or 16,000 or something as right now. But, at the moment I'm still trying to gain trust with people who've subscribed recently of recent months, I should say. And people are, you know, emailing me in and tell me that they really loved the advice I gave and stuff like that. But like, I'm really trying to like make sure they know, like, hey, I'm actually giving real advice before I start selling them something. I think this, you know, offering them a free blogging email course definitely helped, because I get a lot of people asking me the same questions. I understand they're asking because they really want good help from people who know what they're doing with blogging. And so I feel like creating this email course helped me. With helping my email email list, if that makes sense. So many people are asking, like, well, how do you start a blog and everything? How do you make it profitable? And this course goes into it. So I think that's really good for people who subscribe to our list. But
yeah, I think another like unstated goal is just like it's a strong credibility marker for that list for monetizing it later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it seems like sort of the relationship building component goes far beyond that of just someone reading a blog post. Once they're on your list and they're receiving, you know, regular updates, you can send them more free, valuable content. And then it makes an ask later for some sort of paid product much, much more natural.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, I want to transition over to a few of my frequently asked questions, which I've designed to be intentionally short on my end. Your answers do not need to be equally so.
Okay.
Do you have any particular strategies or pieces of advice for how to get your first 100 readers or email subscribers?
I think creating a number of blog posts before you launch. So we created around 40 and we put that onto our site and when it first launched.
Wow.
And I feel like if you want to get going right out the gate and having lots of viewers right up front, I think it's very important to create that content beforehand. Because I feel like they want to be instantly like a Keurig, you know, like instant gratification. And when it comes to starting a blog, and I feel like if you want something similar to that when you're first starting a blog, I would definitely put the work in before you launch, so that when you do launch, your blog is live. You'll feel good when you start putting this post out onto Pinterest, and like you start getting that traffic in within the first month. We had 10,000 views our first month. That gave us like $30 in ad revenue, but it doesn't pay the bills, but it was kind of cool just to know that we could pull in that much. So definitely, I think just putting the work in beforehand so you can see that those views roll in.
I was going to say, also just like, make sure that you study people who are good at whatever you're doing and figure out what works for them, and then figure out how you can apply that in a way that is going to actually fit with you and like what is real and sustainable and interesting for you. Mm-hmm. Because like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So many people say you could never make money from a blog, you know.
Yeah.
A blog. We only came out of like that. We were, you know, internet entrepreneurs after we had a successful business because we were shy. But like, to be realistic, like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Other people have done it, and they've done it successfully. There are successful bloggers out there. They're not freaks. They're not unicorns. They have real tactics and strategies, and you can figure it out for your niche.
What's been the most difficult challenge you guys have faced growing your blog?
I was working a really stressful job when we first got off the ground, and like, we didn't know if it was going to go anywhere, especially like for those months that like were worked pre-launch. Cause once it got up and going, within like a very short time, it started doubling every week, and the traffic kept doubling every week for months on end, about 3 or 4 months. And that was really fun and cool to watch, like just the chart go like that. But in the meantime, it was really cold. We were like incredibly broke. The car kept making like new and frustrating sounds and smells and vibrations that would always cost money. And like, it was just really, really stressful. And like, we were single income, and like, we were at this awkward point, like, okay, Grace was like, Silas, I can get a job at the dollar store next door, you know?
And so I was like, help out with cost for the car and everything.
And I'm like, no, you can't work at the dollar store. You can't work at Whole Foods. Like, we have to just get out of here.
Yeah.
And we went back and forth about that. And like, she decided to stick around and like make it work with the blog. But like, I think that was very hard for me.
Oh yeah, totally.
To be vulnerable.
There are times before the blog even launched where I wanted to quit just because it was really hard. Which I feel like this is good to tell people, because there are so many people, they quit before they ever see any traffic. And like, I was thinking about quitting, and like, I'm obviously glad I didn't, but it was just really hard in that time when, like Sal said, the car kept breaking down. It was snowing, and it was really bad. Like, well, if I could just get the extra money right now, that would help out so much with what we're going through. That would ease some of the like the stress that we had. But
I think the other thing is like, when you travel and you write about places to stay and stuff, and your routine keeps getting messed up because like you're on the Bali time zone, you're in Thailand, you're in Turkey, you're in Africa, you know, wherever. And like, so having your time zone messed up, having your routine and how you get food and your internet connection or your toilets go out or something crazy, or you get sick and you're bedridden for a month. Like, it's really hard to like have the productive habits. Like you have to go, you have to like guard and defend them and be intentional about it every time, or else you can like fall out of a really good habit.
Yeah.
And I think that's also been another thing that's like just been, you know, it's something you have to learn about, and people don't really teach you about that. They're just like, oh yeah, you'll be a digital nomad. You'll work on the beach. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And like, I'm thinking about actually doing a series post on this, because this is actually something that, you know, is real for people to adjust to. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the other one. But I think that's it.
Yeah, definitely.
That was actually going to be my next question for you guys, was how do you actually stay productive and get real work done while you're, you know, frequently on the go? I know you're not necessarily traveling each day. Like, you get a little bit settled in places, but if you have some advice to someone out there who is trying to, you know, whether it's freelancing or starting a blog, something else, trying to travel and work at the same time, what would you tell them?
Oh, no. Do you want to go first?
I was just going to say, like, co-working spaces, because not every place we've stayed in has great internet. You don't know that until you get there. Like, we go on Airbnb and we pick a place that's in central and has good reviews. Yeah. But a lot of the time they don't always have that great of internet. So co-working spaces have saved us.
Yeah. Also, like, it's good mentally, especially like married people, listen up. It's good mentally to have a spot that is like for work. So when you leave, you get out of work mode and you shut that off. Mm-hmm. So that then your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, whoever, they have you accessible in a non-work capacity.
Yeah.
I think this is especially for guys, because like, we can just like get in the zone, or at least, I don't know, maybe it's just me anyway, but like, I can really get in the zone, and I think it's good to have a place. And then, you know, when you leave, you're done.
Yeah.
And I'll look at Grace. I'll be like, hey babe, can we talk about work for a little bit? And then, you know, we will, but then I'll go back to like normal. And I think that's also really, really good as well.
I think also it's easy to, when you're with a person, with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's easy just to want to hang out with them. Like, oh, let's just take the day off and let's explore a city or
splitting
whatever.
Splitting up is important.
Yeah, splitting up is very important. So when I was in Bali, I had to walk to Starbucks. I'm not a Starbucks fan, but they had air conditioning and they had good internet. So that worked for me. But yeah, it can be a little hard, but when you get used to a place and you find a location that works for, whether it's a co-working space or it's a coffee house, I think that's a good way to make sure you stay focused and work hard.
I think the other thing, to answer your question, the other part of it is like to be very intentional and understand certain habits are non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how tired you are, this must happen on the first day.
Yeah.
And if it can't happen on the first day because they're not physically open or, you know, whatever happens, it has to happen on the next day. Like, and just to kind of like understand, like, this will make your life orders of magnitude like harder and harder to get around.
Yeah.
Like, you must have that SIM card on the first day and data. Mm-hmm. You must, you know, like, you must get used to the public transport system immediately. It doesn't matter what squiggles they use instead of letters. Like, you just have to, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a big deal as well, just kind of figuring out what is most important and then disregarding the rest.
Yeah,
definitely. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, this is going to be my last question for you. What would you say has been the best investment you've ever made in the context of growing your business? So this could be in the form of, you know, time, money, tools, educations, products, or otherwise.
For me, it would probably be... what was I looking for? The opportunity cost. So like I was saying earlier, it would have been so much easier for me to make that quick money at Whole Foods. Cause I feel like a lot of people, they give up so quickly because it is easier because they don't see the success right then and there. I just call it opportunity cost because you're giving opportunities cost is like, what's the exact definition?
You give up something so that you can have something else.
Yes. Yes. And so I gave up that instant gratification of having money just so I could have something better and make more money. For me, that was important because before that I was kind of, slacker sounds bad, but you know what I mean? Like I'm a millennial. I like to go on Facebook and everything. And so it was easy for me to waste my time away online. And then, so that was helping me with becoming more productive. And, I feel like it was so much easier for me to give up on certain things, certain aspirations, certain goals. But when I made sure I just focused on the blog and sales helped me out with that. And I didn't just go, I'll get a job or whatever. I stayed with it with starting a blog. That was how we had success, and that was a total game changer, but definitely that.
I'm going to sound like a broken record because I said it before, but just like literally like looking at who's, you know, who's been successful and then figuring out how you can do that, how you can improve on that, because there are people, just because people are doing it and they're the best doesn't mean that it can't be done better.
Yeah.
Or just because they're the, you know, they're really good doesn't mean it can't be done better. And not being afraid to like tweak it and customize it to make it work for you. We have a multi-topic blog. Almost everybody who blogs about blogging says you must be single topic. There's lots of multi-topic blogs that did great. BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, Art of Manliness, you know. But we made ours, Cupcakes and Cashmere would be another one. We made ours multi-topic and it worked for us. But we, you know, we absorbed the best and then we kind of innovated from there. And I think that was the best investment that we could have made.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Awesome. That's a great point to wrap up. Thank you guys for being on the show. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you and everything you're up to?
Yeah, you can go to chasingfoxes.com. And there you can find out more about us and the kind of help we give. And
you can go there. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere else.
All right. Thank you guys again.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.